This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. We're all told to exercise 3 to 5 times a week, take 10,000 steps a day and so on. We know what we need to do to get fit and stay healthy. But sometimes, though, life and unforeseen circumstances can get in the way of that. And of course, discussing correctional training with me today is Vanessa Ng. She's a fitness trainer. Welcome to the show, Vanessa. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm feeling great.
Vanessa, the sort of work that you do is correctional training. How different are you from a physiotherapist, for an example?
Well, when someone gets themselves injured, they'll first have to see a physiotherapist mm-hmm. to reduce inflammation, to get muscles in the right way. A physio can take you to a point where you no longer be in pain, but they may not be able to take you to a performance level, mm-hmm. so you can get on about with your life painless, but you can't run or you can't carry your grocery, a heavier load, you know, or if someone were to chase you, you might not be able to
be as quick as you were.
Exactly.
So what are you saying? That, you know, initially everyone goes through a physiotherapist, and then after which is when you come into the picture?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't get involved during the recovery process as such?
No.
Okay, so once you know, is there anyone whom cannot go on to do correctional training?
Well, you need to spend some time studying different kind of injuries and what are the muscles involved. And that's only injuries related. And you need to also spend time studying on different kind of illness. Because mm-hmm. in most cases, sometimes client will come with 2 injuries or a special condition. So definitely the trainer will need to spend extra time to get the certification.
Right. Who do you normally see? I mean, who are your clients predominantly?
Oh, 80% of my clients, they have back pain, knee injury, this elbow dislocation, I've seen it, Parkinson, mm-hmm. you know, average neck pain, muscular or postural imbalance, as well as the other spectrum, which is high pressure, diabetes, cancer survivors. Mm-hmm. So these are the typical clients that I would see.
Okay. So I can see the physical, and there's a different aspect for those with physical injuries as opposed to maybe someone who's fighting diabetes or hypertension. So what is the correctional training for the diabetic, for an example?
Well, it's not so much on correctional, but more on the contraindication mm-hmm. to their medicine. Certain exercise they're not allowed to do, or they have to work at a certain intensity mm-hmm. to so that the exercise benefits them and it doesn't cause them more problems.
Right.
Yeah.
So I suppose the correctional training is more for those who are, you know,
physically injured. Yeah.
Okay. Some key aims of correctional training, as you said, is it all about regaining strength, or is it all about what are some of the areas that you look at?
Well, when someone is injured, the movement pattern changes. I mean, the way you use your back, the way you use your shoulder changes because you're trying to find an angle that it doesn't hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. So what we do is, after rehab, we will come in and help you to make the area that has been weakened stronger. Or maybe you have certain tightness in the joint, we will have to make it more flexible. Mm-hmm. So we have to look back in the whole picture. If the muscles need to be stretched, we will stretch it. If the muscle needs to be strengthened, we'll make it stronger. But all in relation to what's the bigger picture in your whole body.
Right.
We don't just train one section, but we look at the whole picture.
Right. And so how do you assess? The consultation process must be a pretty long one.
Definitely. Well, we need to find out the client's medical history and then the injury condition, if they have an injury, exercise history, what works for them before and what doesn't, followed by their postural correction. So we need to assess if there's any tight muscles or they have a certain postural issues that we need to sort out as part of the training. The client, during the training, the client would not experience that. We're actually specifically training their arms or training their legs, but it goes hand in hand. They don't really feel, they just feel it's a workout.
Right.
So that's the beauty of it.
How do you draw up the program?
We always start from core conditioning. We make the core stronger, and then we get look into the injured section. How can we make that stronger? And how can we make that stronger working with the core? And then we develop from there.
Right. And as you said earlier, you sort of pick up from the physiotherapist when the physiotherapist is done. So how do you know? Do you work closely with physiotherapists and maybe even orthopedic surgeons? I mean, who do you work with?
Towards the end of their rehab with the physio, that's when they will start to come and talk to me. And that point, I will have a word with the physio and what they're currently doing and what I plan to do for these clients and how we can complement each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, other than physio, yes, we do work with orthopedics. I've worked with cardiologists as well. Basically, these are the three main groups that I've worked with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when sometimes, I mean, do you take over straight away from the physiotherapist or do they rest for a while before they come for correctional training? What happens? Because if you stop and there is a lag between that time, we all know, don't go to the gym for 1 week and you become soft all over again. And it takes ages to build it all back. So then how do you make sure you maximize that time when, you know, we're all warmed up and flexible and relatively ready to go?
It really depends on the client. Some client would like to take a break in terms of timing-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, they dedicated 3 hours per week to see a physio and they want to take a break from there. Some client, they want to go right into performance level, that they have a certain goal they want to achieve and then they want to get themselves stronger for that. So it really depends on the client. Yeah.
You know, I was rather interested when you said you help people with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, what entails a program for Parkinson's? Or what constitutes a program for Parkinson's?
Okay, with any form of training, at the end of the day, we want the client to have, or I want the client to have a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. So with any forms, it's geared towards that. So with Parkinson, it depends if what sort of Parkinson is it, which part of their body they start to lose control. Mm-hmm. So if it's lower body, so we're trying to get them to be able to walk better, trying to get them engaged mentally, because we will not be able to stop it, the progression of the condition, but we may be able to slow it down. And it has proven, studies has proven that exercise helps with Parkinson's.
Together with medication.
With the medications and everything.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it does help for things like Parkinson's. In some instances, what about cases of strokes where many changes have happened to your coordination? How then, what do you need to do then?
Again, you know, we look at what sort of skills they have lost and then how we can reconnect them. It's a lot of it's an ongoing process
and
it's really slow.
One.
It's very, very slow.
Yes.
And it's very challenging for the client and the trainer as well. But it's getting them to understand why this is necessary, why they need to relearn their core, get the coordination right, which is your right arm, which is your left arm. I have had a stroke patient that they couldn't even determine which is your right and left arm. And just to get that motor skill going, that awareness going, it does take time.
It's quite a challenge. How long does it take you normally to get moving with stroke patients? I suppose it depends on the severity of the stroke.
Yeah, it definitely depends. And how determined the client. And, you know, sometimes they may see results after 3 weeks. You know, they start to move a little bit better. And then they go for holiday. Mm-hmm. And when they come back, it's just back to square one again. So there's definitely a lot of frustration that comes with it, a lot of challenges, you know. You are seeing the client improving and then suddenly it just gone the other way around.
Yeah, your mental state is crucial in all of this.
Yes.
How do you help them with your psychological state?
It helps when you explain to them why this is necessary, why it had to be done this way and not the other way around. Why do I think this particular exercise is important to them? You know, what is my plan in the future for them? When they have that in mind, they know what's going to happen, they're more likely to do it.
Does it help if you are generally fit even before an injury or an accident or whatever? Does that help with correctional training?
Definitely, because there's this thing what we call the muscle memory.
Yes.
It helps because they know how to move properly. Then, of course, the muscle memory also depends whether it is a good muscle memory or a bad muscle memory. If you have learned, for example, if you learn squat in a bad technique, mm-hmm. the muscle memory is back to the bad technique. Then we have to reset everything again.
See, I didn't know that. So it goes up to even that extent.
Yes.
That if you learn the technique the wrong way, then that's how the muscle remembers things.
Exactly. And then it makes the training a whole lot more challenging because we have to reset back to square one. Mm-hmm. Forget that. This is how we're going to move from now on.
Yep.
We got to change the muscle memory.
And muscle memory, I was reading the other day, comes about, in fact, from the time that you're growing up.
Yes.
And from the time and how active you were then at that stage itself is when muscle memory starts to develop. And it carries through into adulthood. So if you start doing the wrong things or don't do anything at all, then, you know,
that's how your muscles will
you
remember.
You have a lot of problems, exactly.
Exactly. No, for a good example is, you know, when you learn to play tennis.
Yeah.
And if you have a good coach, you learn the right technique, mm-hmm. your chances of injury is much lower. However, if you learn it through, you know, you buy a dummy book and then you try to learn from a book, you may not get it correctly. And you may be able to play well, but there is always a risk.
Of course.
And then you hire a coach trying to change your stroke. That's where the whole
problem
thing starts.
Lies.
Yeah.
We're discussing correctional training with Wanisa Ng. She's a fitness trainer. If you have a question for her, send it through 0162019000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. Welcome back if you've just joined us. We're discussing correctional training with Wanisa Ng. She's a fitness trainer. You know, Wanisa, when we left off, we were talking about muscle memory, right? But on the other hand, when you're dealing with someone who wasn't fit before the accident or illness or injury, I mean, what do you have to do to get them back to fitness levels, base fitness levels at least? How do you do that?
Again, we have to reassess the client through consultation and find where they are right now. There are probably some tests involved, like a push-up test or a crunch test to see where they are. And during the training session, it will take us several sessions as well because sometimes during consultation, it doesn't show us the full picture because we're only doing certain tests on certain part of muscles. So again, a lot of goal setting, expectation sets, mm-hmm. and we'll see where the client and the trainer will go from there.
How can you avoid recurring injuries? Because that happens all the time.
Yeah, people have to look at trauma at a different angle right now. When someone gets themselves injured, there's three ways to look at it. Is it a fight, a flight, or a freeze? Okay, we hear about that in life. Okay, when you have a back pain, it can be a fight. It means your back is fighting with you, telling you, hey, I'm in pain. You know, let's look at it. A flight. That means it's in so much pain, I refuse to work right now, my back muscle says. And then it will start to compensate. Someone else will take the role. A freeze. That's where you get frozen shoulders, frozen chest muscles. It just refuses to work completely. So we have to look at the history of the injury. And then we have to assess from there. If it's a freeze, there's a lot of stretching will be involved in that program. If it's a fight, and then we need to assess, why is it fighting? Are you doing something wrong? If it's a compensation, okay, we need to look at what you have been doing and what are the muscle compensated so we can undo the compensation.
Sounds complicated.
It is.
And a lot of hard work. For people who are injured but don't want to sacrifice their fitness levels, I mean, they have been fit before. How do they compensate?
In fact, I find these people are the hardest client mm-hmm. because they have...
expectations.
They have expectation that I used to be this fit before the injury, and when they come out from an injury, they want to get back to that level mm-hmm. ASAP. It doesn't quite happen that way because movement patterns have changed. Your body have now recognized a new patterns. We need to reset the patterns, relearn the patterns, and then only start to implement performance level to it. So we need to go back to your basic squats. If there's anything changed from there, are you squatting correctly still? You know, basic push-ups. And then we move from there to get back to where you were.
But in actual fact, are you losing your fitness level?
Depends how long you stop. You will lose some form of fitness level. Of course, you can maintain your fitness level at that time as well. For example, if you have an ankle injury and you don't want to lose your cardiovascular fitness, you can do things like swimming. That will help because it doesn't require a lot of ankle work. You know, if you have a knee injury, probably swimming is the next choice as well. So you just need to make sure, you know, what you need to do. Know the exercise that doesn't injure your injured part anymore.
Right. So yeah, you can, it's a question of mental state again. Flexible thinking in that, you know, I can swim or I can do other things.
Yeah.
Compared to maybe I can't run anymore or for the time being. But
exactly,
I can do other things as well.
Yes.
So it comes back to all your mental strength and what, you know, you can do to build it. How do you encourage the building of that mental strength?
Most people have difficulty in terms of time commitment. That is the biggest mental strength, you know, trying to find time to do it. But if it's just a certain personal barrier, as long as you set small goals, set expectation from the trainer and from the client, and then there's, I don't see a reason why a person can't get through a mental barrier.
Mm-hmm.
I have cases where clients who has never exercised and hates exercise and discourage all their friends from exercising to a current exerciser who runs 3 times a week now.
And because of an injury or...
No, she's just an... she's in her 60s and she hates exercise. But through setting mini goals with her, she starts to see the light of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, you know, encouraging everyone around her to exercise.
So it's a very, as you said, a very, very slow process, isn't it?
It's a slow process.
There's one more thing about ladies who have given birth. Women who have given birth also see significant changes to their bodies. How does their fitness change in an instance like this? And do women who have just given birth, do they need to come for correctional training?
They don't really need if they have done the basic, like Kegel exercise, you know, some strong core conditioning. They don't. In fact, there are a lot of studies shows that women who exercise during their pregnancy actually see performance increase after their pregnancy.
Right.
So if you look at a good example would be Paula Radcliffe. She won the 2007 New York Marathon less than 10 months after she gave birth.
Mm-hmm. But not all of us are Paula Radcliffe.
Definitely. But it also shows that there is a possibility that we can be like that and performance will increase. A lot of women I've met after giving birth, like, oh, you know, I will never be how I used to be. You know, this is, now I have a baby. It's difficult. But if you set your mind right, I don't see why not. Because it's all about performance. The muscle doesn't recognize whether you have babies already or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you train it. You know, there's no difference between a 30-year-old person muscular structure or muscle quality
mm-hmm.
to a 60-year-old muscle quality. There's no different.
So it goes back to all your psychological state, really.
Exactly.
You know, and if you have people who are just not moving mentally, it's a mental block, right? Then
yep.
What do you do? I mean, do you give up or do you keep persevering?
It comes down to coaching. Finding out what caused the mental block,
mm-hmm.
why are they doing this to themselves? And by understanding that, you can help them to get out of it. You know, a trainer it's much bigger than just a person who give you an exercise program. They can also be your coach to get through that little small little hurdle in your exercise routine or, you know, pathway. So they will help the client to coach them to over that little smaller barrier. Nothing is impossible if you coach them the right way.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time when, you know, one needs to take a step back and reassess their recovery?
Definitely. You mm-hmm. always have to see how far you push your body, especially if you just came up from an injury, you train yourself for the next 6 months, you want to see how your back, if it's a back injury, reacts now. Usually, I would recommend a client to do like a 10-kilometer race and then see how it performs. if they can do things that's what they don't normally do, and they can do it, that actually empowers them. So you test your body in a different method.
What message would you like to leave us with, Wanisa, on the subject of correctional training?
There's always a second chance in life if you do the right training, if you see the right professional, medical professional, set yourself right. And in terms of mental state, believe in yourself. There's no such thing as I'm now injured and this is me now. There's always, always a second chance. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
That was Wanisa Ng, fitness trainer on correctional training on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.